The fourth point I want to bring up here is Cain does not naturally know how to please God. When it comes to worshiping God, naturally, he didn't know how to please God. And he proved it by the kind of sacrifice that he offered. In Hebrews chapter 4, chapter 11 verse 4, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4, the commentary of Apostle Paul, he said, by faith. Faith here is revelation. Revelation. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. What made his sacrifice acceptable and referred to as excellent is the revelation. Which revelation? That without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The sacrifice was for the atonement of their sins, and only a seed of God will understand it, because it is understood by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. It is divinely revealed. That is the problem with the difference between the Christian faith and all other religions. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But Cain brought flowers, brought the fruit of the ground, the effort that he was making. He brought his success. And many people think that your sins will be forgiven you by the quantity, the amount of offering you bring to God. Your tithe and offering does not cover your sins. Am I saying something? I say it again. Your tithe and offering does not cover your sins, does not remit your sins. That you are a worker in the church does not remit your sins. That you bring your last sacrifice. What did they call it? Isaac sacrifice or something like that. Eh? Your Isaac offering. The best thing you have to cover your sins, it cannot cover your sins. The only thing that covers your sins is if you run under the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the perfect sacrifice that remits our sins. Only Abel knew that because of his origin. Amen. Note verse 26 of Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4:26. See the commentary there. It says, and to Seth, after they gave birth to Seth, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then, only after Enos, Cain, Seth was born, and his lineage started, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. That is, worshiping the true God. Cain and his own line that he produced didn't know anything about the true worship of the living God. Praise the Lord. Why? Because of his origin. An animal can never, if you like, bring a pig and begin to preach revelation. You are wasting your time. In fact, while you are preaching, sleep go catch him. You go sleep off. What are you waiting for? That's not what I came here for. There's nothing in that animal to receive. Amen. And I'm sure there's no animal here. No. There's no animal here. If you see, as I'm preaching now, sleep is catching you. That is evidence that you are not yet born again. You must be born again. If you see anybody sleeping by your side, tap the person and say, you must be born again. Something is disturbing your original nature. How can your father be talking to you? We are talking about our kingdom. We are talking about heavenly things. And you are asleep. It's because you are not yet born again. So you are not an animal, but you must be born again. The only problem we will have with you is the problem Cain had. That God himself came to show him the way. But because there is nothing in him, not even God coming to him, to preach to him. The creator, his maker, creator of heaven and earth. God himself, not a man, no. Preached to Cain. Cain could not repent. So that you will not be surprised. No matter how God revealed himself to some people. Mighty miracles, signs and wonders done in their life. Supernaturally done. For them to know that there is a living God. For them to seek and know that God. You are wasting your time. They are gone and they are waiting for when the next trouble comes. They will look for. I think that church today is Jeshabi. Yes, it is Jesha. When I had this problem, I was there 20 years ago. Let me go whether they are still there. That is the only time. It's only time they have problem. They remember God. They come not to serve him. They come not to know him. They just come to as a spiritual clinic. They don't say the difference between going to church and going to a babalawo. Going to all these funny people. All is solution. They are looking for solution to their problem. That's all. The reason is it's the mystery we are talking about now. Hallelujah. And another point. Amen. If you look at the way the Bible placed it, you notice that the Bible specially listed the lineage of Cain. And listed the lineage of Adam differently. Let's look at it. I think that's with Genesis chapter 4. Just catch this. It's very interesting when you catch it. Verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. They will always go out from the presence of the Lord. And dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And let me quickly add here before I read verse 17. There was no place known as Nod in the east of Eden before. There was no place. Moses is narrating where he went. And the area that is now called Nod, as at the time of that revelation, that is the area that Cain went to. There were no inhabitants there. That city was not called Nod. That's why he went there. So don't be confused as if he went to meet another civilization there, another town. No. It's a reference purpose. It's for reference that is the area. It's the area. And it's just like saying and the Malam moved away from Kano and moved to the area that is called Songo Ota. There was no Songo there until they got there. There was no inhabitants there. Songo means settlement. Transit settlement. In Hausa, it means transit settlement. It has become permanent settlement now for them. Praise the Lord. They come first like transit, then they take over. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife. And she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad. And Irad begat Mehujael. And you see, continue like that. Praise the Lord. Up to verse 24. When he finished that, amen. Then, chapter 5. The lineage of Adam again began. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name who? Who did he call his name? Why is he not calling Cain? Abel died, but Cain was alive. If Cain were his son, he would be reckoned with. Verse 4, and the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Take note, he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth, that took over the family lineage, lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat again sons and daughters. The lineage continues. Praise the Lord. When you read the lineage of Cain, you will discover another characteristic. Let's read it again. Let's read it again. Amen. Verse 18, chapter 4, Genesis. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech, and Lamech took unto him two wives. Polygamy started in that line. The name of the one was Adam, the name of the other Zillah, and Adam bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Nama. You will notice in his lineage, that is where you will find polygamy. The lineage that you find musicians. It's a spirit. Scientists. In that same lineage, you find murderers. How do I know? Verse 23. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding. One of the children of Cain, Lamech, he too has started killing. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 77-fold. In that lineage, we are murderers. But you don't hear like that in the lineage of Adam. Praise the Lord. And watch it. Amen. In Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. See, they are tracing his lineage of Jesus now. And that is the lineage of the sons of God, which was the son of Matthew, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Jana, which was the son of Joseph. Read on like that. The lineage was being traced up to verse 37. Lamech, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Maralil, which was the son of Kenan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, and Adam, which was the son of God. Praise the Lord. Where is the Cain? And Cain is not it's not because he was he killed Abel, that's why he is not called the son of God. No. It is his origin that made him to be a murderer. It's not because he was a murderer, but because of his origin. It is his origin that makes him a murderer. Amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I will come to that. I'll make reference to that. I want to follow my notes very well. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jude verse 14. There is a statement that the apostles had this revelation. Verse 14, Jude. And Enoch also. And Enoch also. The seventh from Adam. Enoch is the seventh from Adam. It's specific. Why is he the seventh from Adam? 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. See what it says. We are going to count them now. Number 1. Everybody, let's go. Number 1. Number 2. Number 3. Number 4. Number 5. Number 6. And number 7, Enoch. Number 2 will have been Cain. And it is not because Abel died. Because all the people, didn't Seth die after? Seth died after now, but the history is still referring to him as the next. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's talking about through where life passed through. Life passed through. He could not call on Abel because he was killed. Therefore, the life before Abel could marry somebody, if Abel had a son, his son would have been the next one. But Abel did not have a son. Therefore, the godly line could only pass through the next original seed of Abraham, which was Seth. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. Amen. He says, for this is the message that you have had from the beginning, that we should love one another. And verse 12, not as Cain. What is his origin? Who was of that wicked one? You know, when I read this scripture, you know what? Every false preacher, the Spirit of God considers you as a wicked person. That is the most wicked thing you can do to a human being, is to preach error, deception. Because in listening to your deceit, that's why Satan is called the son of perdition. A son of perdition is one that leads people to destruction. You lead people to destruction. He was of that wicked one. Can we read it? Let's finish that verse. Verse 12. 1 John. It says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers righteous. And Cain and Abel's spirit, they are still in the church today. By their fruit, you shall know them. Genesis chapter 6, something to point out there, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God, oh glory be to God, came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. It, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Remember the punishment that was given to Cain. A mark was set on Cain. Am I correct? Which verse is there? Genesis? Amen. Chapter 4. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Which verse is that? Are we there? Verse. After the curse, from verse 13. Can we read it now? From verse 13. Genesis chapter 4. And Cain said unto the Lord, after he was cursed, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, this God is very, very merciful. Even to somebody who spoils his program. So that you understand why he said, love your enemies. Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And the mark that is set upon Cain was to prevent anyone that sees him from killing him. The mark, amen. What is the mark that will be upon him? That if mark is for identification, that if a man see him, he will not be able to kill him. In those days, the only way you can kill somebody is by a physical fisticuffs. You fight yourself. You fight. You must take something to hit. It's not this time of technology, both spiritual and physical technology. From Arochukwu or from Okija, without seeing you, they can kill you by spiritual technology. Then there is a physical technology that from 1,000 kilometers, they can launch a missile that will hit you. In those days, you have to meet the person face to face. If there is going to be a mark that somebody will see Cain and not be able to kill him, it will not be a mark on your forehead or anywhere. It is his size. His size. He became a giant. I believe he became a giant. God turned him to a giant. And that is why in those days there were giants also. Because it passed from him to them. They were the children of Cain. They were Canaanites. Praise the Lord. You can make your argument and think that they will put one mark. Anybody see that, you will run away. You see a giant coming, won't you run away? You will run away. Nobody will be able to kill him by the Issachar anointing. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so the stage now is now when Satan, using the serpent, was able to produce Cain, the stage was now set for the mystery of iniquity to be fully executed. What is that mystery? The mystery of iniquity is how Satan was able to grab control of mankind. When he was inspiring an anointing serpent to go and fornicate with that woman and place his seed in the womb of that woman, serpent was only looking at sex for pleasure. Serpent was only looking at the pleasure. He didn't know that it was an agenda of the spirit that was pushing him to do it. So, he's able to have a seed that had both human nature and animal nature. If he can now get these two seeds to cross, he will get these two seeds to cross, then he will pollute all human beings, infect us with animal nature. What is the purpose for that? So that anytime he wanted to do any evil, he will come and anoint that animal nature that is in us. He will anoint it on that man, and you see that man acting according to that nature, inspired by the devil to do all the nonsense men are still doing till now and did then. And name to them, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Satan had an agenda. So now, the most difficult chapter in the Bible is what we're about to read now. Genesis chapter 6. With this background, you can understand Genesis chapter 6 now, from verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose. Verse 1 and verse 2 is the most difficult two verses in the Bible to understand. At least. Amen. Okay, let me not say the most difficult. I'm talking of for those of us who like revelation. For the blind ones, they never understand anything. They don't even bother anyway. After all, they saw earth and they say it's apple. And everybody is believing that it was apple that was eating. They don't bother. They don't. And they will argue to anything. And everybody, all of us before, we say they ate apple. And they give you a graphic picture of what took place. And then they draw a snake around a tree with a mouth offering apple to one woman to take. Their own became a snake before he tempted the woman. Amen. So they can't understand that, many other things, because Cain can never understand revelation. Praise the Lord. So let's read that verse 1 and verse 2 again. Carefully. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and the sons of God, they took them wives of all which they chose. So we have the sons of God, and we have the daughters of men. What does this mean? Who is this son of God? That's why I took time for us to read the lineage in Genesis chapter 5. The lineage of Cain and the lineage of Adam. You will discover that first and foremost, Eve, when she gave birth to Cain, see the comment she made. I have gotten who? A man from the Lord. I have gotten who? A man from the Lord. So, Cain's daughters, what will you refer to them as? They will be called daughters of men. That is the reason why the Bible took time and put those lineages. There are two different lineages. The lineage of Cain, who is a man that Eve had gotten from the Lord. When he came to Seth, he said, I have gotten another seed. Amen. Then you trace from Seth now. Trace it. Down that from Jesus, I mean to say. Trace it down. Who do you meet? You will come and meet the last statement. The last one there is Seth, the son of Adam. Adam, the son of God. Therefore, the sons of Adam. Who will you call them? Sons of God. Daughters of Cain. Daughters of men. Am I saying something? By the Issachar anointing. Let's read on now. Let's read it again now from verse 1, 2 and continue to verse 3 and 4. It says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. Fair here is beautiful. Now, take note that Satan had an agenda. And because he had an agenda, the agenda is for crossbreeding. To bring about the hybridization of human beings. Satan, knowing agenda, you will produce more women his side than men. And those women, remember that they were his lineage, they were scientists. Therefore, they will have the technology of beautification. Of how to beautify with an agenda behind it, which they, the scientists, will not even know. They are the ones. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That same old spirit played out in the journey in the wilderness. Balaam could not curse the children of Israel, even no matter how much Balak paid him. They were under strict law, not to join themselves among the countries they were passing through. There are strict laws in dressing, in how to comport themselves. And the only way Balaam knew, by that same old devil inspiration, God told him, you cannot curse whom God has blessed. Israel is blessed, you cannot curse him. That is why in the book of Revelation, God hates the doctrine of Balaam. There is a doctrine of Balaam that he said he hates. What is the doctrine of Balaam? Balaam, therefore, taught Israel, it's okay. The only way you can have a true child of God to have problem with his maker, God, you can't cause, is to make that person have problem directly with God. If he has problem with you, you curse him, he cannot walk. But if you make him, there is something he can do, you make him to be angry with God. How do you do? You know they have been in the wilderness. Prepare your women. prepare your women for a feast. Let them dress in a particular way, seductive way, skimpily, and invite them. After all, you are related. Are you not related through Esau? We are Moabites. We are Edomites. We are cousins. As you are passing through, want to have a dinner party. Is that not? Are we not one? But there was an agenda. And they dressed them in a special way. And as in the evening they came, people who were in the wilderness for how many years, don't see any naked person. Then all of a sudden, they started shaking. You know, they selected the girls because of their agenda. Hallelujah. We cannot kill you in the battlefield, but we shall make your God kill you by himself. That is the doctrine of Balaam. And immediately, these people saw this. Wow! And they said, no, feel free, there's nothing. Feel free, take anyone you like. It's a feast. Feel free, take anyone you like. And, hey! Who they reject free food? You know the story. I'm not cooking this story. It's in the Bible. The Bible says, God got angry with them. That night, he killed 24,000. The doctrine of Balaam. Go and look for that message. I preached it. If you have forgotten, I will preach it again. The doctrine of Balaam. And it's still going on now. And God hates it. Satan designed those women with their scientific products. Amen. When you see these women, they are irresistible. You see them on television, the one they used to advertise. Waiting concern woman with advertising engine oil. Anything they want you to catch attention is a woman, and the advert company will dress you. They are the one that will dress you. They have cosmetologists that they employ. They know there is the first coat, there is the foundation, then there is the layer, then there is this. By the time they finish, oh my! And when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. What more? Hallelujah. They took them wives of all which they chose. And verse 3. It says, once that happened, of course, you know what happened. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Flesh here is carnality because of that union. Therefore, he cannot live forever. Yet his days shall be 120 years maximum. 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men through sexual union, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And God regretted, and he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace. You don't understand. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Noah did not earn it. He too was sinned. His grace, unmerited favor. He was not qualified. He too, he was mixed up in the nonsense that was going on. But God found, he found favor. He found favor. He found favor. Noah found grace. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, let me tell you how Noah found the favor. Amen. The favor that he found, Pastor, are you hearing me? Amen. The favor he found is the favor that the disciples found. What is that favor? God came and revealed to him what he wants to do. It's not because Noah was so holy. No, there was something Noah knew. And he believed it. That God is angry with the whole world and is going to destroy the whole earth. And he believed it. Because God came down. That is where the favor is. That is where the grace is. The grace of God is revealed to all men. Teaching us. What does it teach us? It teaches grace. Teaches you to depart from evil. Grace is not a set of instruction. It is revelation. The knowledge that there's going to be destruction. This world will be destroyed. That God can come down and reveal that danger that is soon coming. But he's saying, but you will escape if you follow this way. That is where the grace is. There was a revelation he had that God gave him. The disciples had that same special grace. When he's teaching them outside, he will not let them understand those parables until he's in the room with his disciples. Then the disciples ask us, teach us, interpret those parables. One of them asked, but why do you always go out there and speak things in parable? You leave them in confusion. What was his answer to his disciples? Unto you it is given. That is grace. That is grace. It's not because Peter was more holy than Nicodemus. No. There was something Peter knew that made them ready to die, and they died the horrible death that they died. Oh, grace. Brothers, Issachar Jr. Listen. I listened to a clip of a testimony. I forwarded it to some of you this morning. And I began to think again the meaning of some statements in the Bible. Amen. The process of salvation is very deep. This man was caught by Boko Haram, a Christian. And they are telling him, deny Christ. He said, 4 AK-47 was pointed at him. Deny Christ. We are working for Allah. Deny Christ. At the point of death. At the point of death. Oh, glory be to God. At the point of death. He saw others. They kill all others before him. Reminding him, they said, we will leave you if you will become a Muslim. And he refused. And they shot him. Now listen. The same statement they told him was the same statement they told all other people. They killed them. Why did they kill them? They killed them. Oh, glory be to God. They killed them because they stood for Christ, even at the point of death. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, they overcome the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The last statement is what I'm interested in. And they loved not their lives unto the death. He said, he who keeps his life will lose it. And he who loses his life will have it back. That is the meaning. And then I began to understand Revelation chapter 7. Can we open it? Revelation chapter 7. I think it's from verse 11 or so. Hallelujah. From verse 9. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. Verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Who are they? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of what? Great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And I look, and if you read down the verse 17, verse 18, you will see the picture complete there. And I say, these are people who came out of great tribulation. There are many people that die standing for God. You said they did not baptize in the name of Jesus, Abby. They didn't know Abby. But they knew enough to stand and defend their faith. Even though they did not baptize in the name of Jesus. They are another category. They died standing for God. They are wearing white robes now. White robes now. Because, listen, your own is water baptism, Abby. In the name of Jesus, their own were bullets. They sealed their confession of Christ with their own blood, with bullets. You, your own, you enter water. It's the same result. The same white robe we shall wear. I believe it. I believe it. They had opportunity to live, but they preferred to die. And the man said that they killed the rest, and they are all now with the Lord. That God spared him so that he will give this testimony. And I was moved. The mystery of redemption. How many of us can die for Christ? Up in the north there, they will enter and shoot people. The next Sunday, the crowd will increase in the church. And it's not political. Nobody will play politics with his life like that. It is their own way of making the statement of which side they belong. Grace. Grace goes beyond water baptism. Grace gives you knowledge, revelation. And it is the revelation you have upon this rock. I'll build my church. Knowing who Jesus is, you cannot. How many years did she, Leah Sharibu? How old? They released her mates. Because they say, okay, we'll become Muslim. She said she will not be a Muslim. You can kill me if you like. How old is she? 14 years. They had a revelation enough that you will stand for Christ. So that you begin to review the kind of faith, the kind of Christianity you profess.